You're listening to SB Nation Radio, and this is Making the Play with Rob Johnson.
And Making the Play brought to you by the Holiday Inn, Route 66. Go to HIRoute66.com. A upset perhaps in the making. Overtime, Texas A&M and UCLA, 24-all, fourth and goal for Texas A&M in the first overtime. And an almost a big upset happened Thursday night. And join us now on the Progressive Insurance guest line to talk about it, Will Shelton from RockyTopTalk.com. Will, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Hey, at what point did you think the Volunteers were going to get upset by Appalachian State Mountaineers on Thursday night?
I think into the third quarter when Tennessee failed to really, the offense failed to come out of the locker room and respond, and you're down 13-3 against a team that really is bleeding the clock, and the offense hadn't been productive. And one thing Tennessee fans, we wrote about this on our site, Tennessee has been down for 8 or 9 years now, and so the confidence level is not where it once was. Even in Neyland Stadium with 100,000 people, 10, 15 years ago, that crowd really would have expected Tennessee to go out there and get the job done. Now it's a very manic, depressive kind of crowd, and maybe some of that bleeds into the team as well when you get in a bad situation like that. So it was a very uncomfortable third quarter, early fourth quarter there, where it looked like Appalachian State for a few minutes was just going to be able to just run the clock out against Tennessee. But obviously that didn't happen, but certainly as well, everyone's perception of Tennessee inside Knoxville, East Tennessee, and around the country has been affected by what happened there Thursday.
Josh Dobbs was getting a lot of hype in the offseason. We even talked about him here on my show a few weeks ago, but he made some really bad decisions in that game. What do you think of him right now?
I think that some of what we saw from Dobbs kind of feeds into an idea that was thrown around last year, which is how much does this coaching staff really trust him to throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field? Dobbs is a really good runner, and that's something mysterious a little bit too. They didn't run him a whole lot until the overtime period. He had a third of his carries for the whole game came in overtime. I think they wanted to maybe keep him healthy, but he's a really good runner. I think he's really good. He was the best quarterback in the SEC on third down last year in terms of picking up third downs in middle distance. But those downfield passes, I know he hit the big one that gave Tennessee their only touchdown in regulation, but the coaching staff, because they felt like last year they had such a good running game and we thought such a strong running game was going to manifest itself again this year, that certainly wasn't the case Thursday, that they just don't really see that as being one of his strengths. And so Dobbs is a guy that's going to do a lot of things running the ball. He's looked at, I think, as kind of being someone who can help move the chains and be part of a dynamic offense. But explosive plays were the biggest thing that Tennessee's offense was missing last year. And other than the one, which to his credit was a huge play and a great throw on that long touchdown pass to Josh Malone, there wasn't much of anything at all explosive about Tennessee Thursday night.
Will Shelton writes for RockyTopTalk.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at WShelton2. He's with us on the Progressive Insurance guest line here on Making the Play with Rob Johnson on SB Nation Radio. You mentioned the one touchdown in regulation, and I know my Twitter feed was blowing up, and I'm wondering about your thoughts on everyone was saying what took so long. Why did Tennessee finally, you know, they were begging them to go deep, and they made that play look so easy. What are your thoughts about how that all played out? And did the coaching staff respond with, you know, why they didn't go deep more?
No, you know, Butch Jones always plays that really close to the vest. Mike DeBoer, Tennessee's offensive coordinator, who was a part of that Michigan staff that lost to Appalachian State in 2007, he is notoriously conservative, and that's not always a bad thing. Tennessee, again, one of the best rushing attacks in the SEC last year. But again, I think a lot of what Tennessee did last year and what they want to do this year is let their defense get out there and dominate, let their run game dictate the tempo and the pace of the game. And you have to question how much they trust their quarterback to make smart decisions. The interception that Dobbs threw at the end of the first half off his back foot, I mean, just a terrible decision by a really smart senior quarterback. So I think a lot of what Tennessee tries to do, it doesn't seem like it because they do some hurry up and they do a lot of shotgun stuff, but a lot of Tennessee's identity last year was really risk management. And I think so far it's only one game, and maybe they were staying very vanilla because they do get to play Virginia Tech next week, and they do have Florida in this SEC gauntlet coming up a couple weeks after that. So maybe there's stuff that they didn't put out there because they thought they could handle Appalachian State more easily. But it certainly just kind of looked like that risk management offense is what they wanted to run again. But if you can't establish the line of scrimmage, if Tennessee's offensive line is going to struggle as much as it did against Appalachian State, then they certainly are going to have to try to find other ways, because that one touchdown in regulation, obviously, it barely got the job done against Appalachian State and certainly won't get the job done in the SEC.
You mentioned next week, and up next for the Volunteers is an awesome game against Virginia Tech. It'll take place at Bristol Motor Speedway, a fantastic venue. Two questions. Are you going to be there, and what do you think of this game at that venue?
I am going to be there. I spent about 6 years living in Southwest Virginia, and the last decade, the Hokies are close to my heart as well. It's a great kind of unused rivalry. Knoxville and Blacksburg are just a shade over 3 hours apart from each other, but other than a bowl game in the 90s and the 2009 Chick-fil-A Bowl, Tennessee and Virginia Tech haven't played since the 30s. So there's a lot of, for folks that live in Upper East Tennessee and live in Southwest Virginia, there's a lot of crossover and a lot of interaction between those fan bases. And so it took a long time to get this game together. I'm really excited about being there. It's one of those things where, you know, no one already from a logistical standpoint, no one knew what to expect in this game, from parking to how anyone's sight lines are going to be watching the game to really anything like that. What's the field going to be like? All those things. But now you feel like the things you really assumed about Tennessee, that they could run the ball, that their offensive line could establish the line of scrimmage, those kind of are all up in the air now as well. Virginia Tech's got a brand new coach for the first time in forever. So it's hard to get anything figured out about them as well. So there's just really, I think a lot of Tennessee fans thought that the real season for Tennessee would start with Florida the last week of September. But now there's nobody looking ahead to Florida now, to be sure. There is so much unknown and so much excitement for what will be easily the largest crowd to ever watch a college football game. But it's going to be very educational, I think, both for Tennessee fans and for Virginia Tech fans next Saturday.
Will Shelton writes for RockyTopTalk.com. He joins us here on the Progressive Insurance Guest Line on Making the Play with Rob Johnson on SB Nation Radio. Be sure to give Will a follow at WShelton2. All right, they survive perhaps the upset, like for no more surprises, hopefully, if that's the case. If Tennessee comes back next week, has a good game, they kind of get on a roll. Of course, you mentioned Florida's coming up right around the corner also. So, who is their biggest challenge? And real quick before I let you go, who is their biggest challenge for the SEC East?
You know, I think people felt like coming into the year that Georgia had a better shot to win the East if it wasn't going to be Tennessee. Tennessee's got to go to Athens right after they play Florida. So Tennessee hasn't beaten Florida in 11 years. If they get that done, there's going to be lots of emotion and lots of feeling like Tennessee is finally back. But then you got to turn it around and go win in Athens a week after that. So I think Tennessee is the most talented team in the SEC East, but as we saw Thursday, there's some assumption built in there. Georgia, obviously, right now, actively trying to figure it out at quarterback with a freshman playing. We'll see Florida a little bit later tonight. So I think it's clearly those three teams, Tennessee, Georgia, and Florida. But even if the Vols get past the Gators, from a scheduling standpoint, Georgia may be a more important game because you got to go on the road and win it to try to get that tiebreaker as well. So we'll know a lot about Tennessee by the second day of October there.
Will, we appreciate your time today. Enjoy yourself at Bristol. I've been there for a race, obviously never for a football game. It's going to be an amazing experience, and we look forward maybe to talking to you as the season rolls along.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Once again, that is Will Shelton, writes for RockyTopTalk.com. You can follow that on Twitter at WShelton2. They survive in advance, right? Tennessee had no business winning that game, but I say the Appalachian State coaching staff gave it to them. As that clock ran down, the final seconds, had so much opportunity to win the game, didn't get it done, but they survived. So Tennessee moves on.